Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Do you ever stop long enough to ask, why am I here? Where am I going? What's it all about anyway? For believers, there is a big picture view that puts everything in perspective and makes sense out of seeming chaos. Want to know more? Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Pastor Lutzer concludes a mind-expanding talk on When God Was Alone, a look at how vast and yet how personal God is and can be to all who call upon Him.
You realize that of all of the galaxies that we've talked about, hundreds of millions of galaxies and tens of trillions of stars, God decided to take a speck in His universe, namely the Earth, and to use it as a stage. And on this Earth would be played out justice and mercy and evil and good and morality and immorality and obedience and disobedience. And on this particular planet Earth, which is one of the smallest of the planets and actually almost undefinably small so far as the universe is concerned, God says, this is the place where it's all going to happen. And so He created Lucifer, who fell. He created man, who eventually chose in favor of Lucifer. And you have the whole history of the human race. And guess what? You and I are playing a part in that drama. And we weren't asked whether we wanted to participate. Nobody asked me whether or not I wanted to be born. Nobody asked you whether you wanted to be born. That was not a choice that was made by you. There were prior choices made by your parents and your grandparents that eventually determined the fact that you would show up on planet Earth. But here we are, and we participate in the drama. You say, wait a minute now, I'm an atheist, and I don't believe in Jesus, and I don't even believe in God. Well, that's an interesting fact about you that has some rather eternal consequences, but I must also very quickly tell you that you also are a part of God's drama, and the drama that God wanted to enact, because it is not simply a matter of being a believer to participate in one way or another in a destructive way. You will also participate in God's eternal plan. My friend, today, God is so immense, He is so wise, that there is not the slightest detail in your life and mine, or in the universe at large, that somehow is not contributing to His ultimate purposes. It's awesome. It's true. Do you now understand why it is that the greatest sin that you and I can commit is to ignore God? Do you understand that? I mean, here He is. He's the heaven of heavens cannot contain Him. He's created the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, the galaxies, and then He has put us on this little speck that we call planet Earth, and He has a plan for the whole shebang, as well as for you and me, and we go our separate ways thinking that the end of man is to have a little bit of pleasure and to get all that you can out of life before you go to wherever. What an awful thought. How disrespectful of the living and the true God. Jesus said that the greatest commandment is that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. There is no other purpose to live, period. How dare we settle for earning a living, even a good living, even a wealthy living? How dare we have that as a goal when there's a God who created us, who's immense, who's great, who's personal, who became a man of all things to redeem us. And we're wondering about how we're going to earn a living, as if to say that is the predominant reason why we showed up on planet Earth. God went through all this expense to create a canopy, to create a great big theater on which this little stage has been put. And we think that the purpose of life is to see how much pleasure we can get out of it before we die. My friend today, do you also see something that is very absurd? Have you ever thought of how absurd it is that you and I close God out of part of our life and say, God, I'm not going to submit to you in this area. I'll submit here, and I'll submit this, and I'll submit that, but this area of disobedience that I know is sinful, I am going to keep to myself because I enjoy it, and I think ultimately I know better than you as to what is best for me, because I'm only going around life once, and what I need to do is to do what really pleases me, and so whether this is right or wrong, I'm going to do it anyway. Can you imagine the ultimate supreme lawgiver in the universe, the creator of the sun, the moon, the stars, your creator and mine, knowing less about what is best for you than you and I do. So we say, God, I'm closing you out of this area of my life, because if I surrender it to you, you're going to make this demand, and it's more than I'm able to commit to, and so I'm just going to do my own thing. My dear friend, today I want you to know that that is an insult to the living and the true God. And God, incidentally, feels the hurt of our insults. I mean, he could wipe us off the map just like that, but he doesn't. He puts up with rebellion. He allows evil to triumph temporarily. He is willing to endure the affliction of the people of God. The Holy Spirit is grieved because of sin, and he continues to be grieved and minister to us. And all the while we're saying, I know what's best for me, and I'm going to do my own thing. In my short life, I have never met anybody who has closed God out of a part of his life or her life who is contented and satisfied as a person. There's always that mixture of delight and disdain, always that mixture of pleasure and pain, always that unsettled feeling. Because in those areas where you and I defy the Almighty is obligated to make sure that we cannot be ultimately fulfilled. You say, well, where do I begin to honor God, which is the purpose for which we were created? The creed has it correct. The chief end of man is to know God and to enjoy him forever. What is the purpose of man? Yes. Jesus said in John 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You know what it says in Daniel 11, 32, the people that know their God. Wow. The people that know their God will be strong and do exploits. The people who know God, the people who've got their priorities straightened out. You say, well, where do I begin in this business of honoring God? I want to ask you to turn to just one verse of Scripture and listen to the words of Jesus in John 5, 23. I'll begin with verse 22. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, in order that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Now get this, he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Let that sink into your mind. You say, well, all those people who are lining up in Japan to honor all of these eight million gods. Are you telling me that they are not honoring the true and the living God? My friend, it's not me who's telling you that. It's Jesus, who knows a whole lot more than I do. He says that those who do not honor the Son do not honor the Father. And if you want to begin by honoring the Father, you honor the Son. You begin to fall in love with Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you become a worshiper of Christ, and you say with the Apostle Paul, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. All that I desire is knowledge of Christ." And you begin to honor the Father, because Jesus said, "You honor me, you honor him, you dishonor me, you dishonor him." Because Christ is God. Christ is God. 2 Corinthians says, "God hath said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I shall be their God, and they shall be my people." Awesome! The heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. And yet, you dwell in a human heart. Let me ask you something today. Is there a part of your life that you're unwilling to yield to the Almighty? What part is it that is so precious to you that you think it means more to you than God should? What part is it? Don't you think it's time to give up your petty desires, your wrong priorities, and to say, "God, today, by your grace, you have all of me without a single hesitation, with nothing held back, no closet door of my heart closed, but I open them all, I fling them open to you, and I say, God, take everything. You're worthy of all the honor, all the worship that I could possibly give you." Are you willing to say that today?
And my dear friend, a good part of what we have to submit to God is our emotions. Some of you who are listening are overcome with fear, anxiety, anger, a sense of regret, unforgiveness. That's why I've written a book entitled Managing Your Emotions, because I believe that God has an answer for the depth of our need. Today is the last day we're making this resource available for you. Let me read some of the chapter titles: those feelings of love, depression, rejection, fear, loneliness, anger, disappointment, regret, the bitter, unforgiving feeling. What is it that is hindering you in your walk with God? I think that this book will be a tremendous blessing to you and to others who read it. Remember this. Today is the last day we're making this resource available for you. It's entitled Managing Your Emotions.
Pastor Erwin Lutzer has wrapped up his talk on When God Was Alone, the first in a series on What Is God Up To? Next time, Lucifer's Greatest Blunder, the unthinkable rebellion of God's greatest angelic creation long before the earth came to be. Don't miss our next broadcast. Pastor Lutzer's book on managing your emotions can transform your life. This book will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.